Who is the greatest captain in Starfleet history? Captain Harrison, Captain Decker, or somebody else that you've never heard of? Let's find out. Star Trek Weekly starts now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, that's right. With a captain theme, why don't we have the mystery ship? Welcome to Star Trek Weekly. I'm Christian Blatt. You can find me at ChristianDMZ. And for those of you watching on YouTube, number one, join us in the chat. Give us your rankings for your favorite Starfleet captains. And you'll also notice, seated to my left, your right, Carrie Lane.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
And then at the aft of the ship, we have Happy Go Jackie himself, Frank Moran. I gave away the spoiler where people can find you, but where can people find you?
Where Christian said, guys.
At Happy Go Jackie.
That's right. There you go.
Anyway, so I thought that this would be a fun little conversation where we'll just sort of, very conversationally, we're not going to try and say who's right or who's wrong, but there's going to be wrong answers in the chat if you want to chime in with some. We welcome your wrong answers, and we celebrate them. We got some great comments on last week's episode, including people starting to pitch their answers for this week. So we'll get into all of that, including, I teased it in the open, Frank, somebody said they wanted to pick Captain Harriman because of how much they liked Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So, you know, or Spin City. You know, either way, yes. I feel like, you know, it's hard to not have him. So I think a great way to do it is just sort of go through who I considered to be eligible for best captains. And in no particular order, it's Captain James T. Kirk, as in Kirk Prime from the original timeline. We do also have Kelvin Kirk. I felt like we needed to rank them separately. Do you accept my splitting James T. Kirk into two people, Frank?
I do, because I definitely think they're two different characters that we've seen.
Yes, and two very different actors. Carrie, one of them has hair.
Well, we're talking, the Chris Pine versus Shatner, right?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, no, they're so different.
They're very different, because even if you go with young Shatner and, you know, older Chris Pine, you know, basically, you're like, yeah, they're definitely
also
very different guys.
Just how they portrayed that character so different because of when it came out, too.
Yeah, no, definitely. The environment, you know, playing James T. Kirk exactly the way he was played in 1966 would seem a little weird, I think, at this point.
Well, and I think they've gone to a great point to say, like, the Kelvin timeline, Kirk is a very different person given the circumstances that happened to change that timeline.
Yeah.
So I think it's appropriate to look at him as a different character, as an individual captain.
So we've got two Kirks eligible. We've got Jean-Luc Picard, Benjamin Sisko, who somebody, when they ranked it, they did not count him, but I will make a case for why he is a great Starfleet captain. Catherine Janeway from Deep Space Nine, Jonathan Archer, I believe his name is Jonathan, from Enterprise, and I just remember Lorca. I can't remember his first name now that I put myself on the spot, but we'll get to it when we talk about him. We've got Star Drew in the chat. Star Drew, who I think watches every show on After Buzz. God bless you. We love Star Drew. So since he gave us his submission, we will start with Star Drew in the chat. So he says Picard, Janeway, Kirk, Movie Kirk, Lorca, then Archer. It's an interesting sort of ranking there, Star Drew. I have sort of a very controversial for myself decision, and I picked Jean-Luc Picard as the best Starfleet captain. And I think it's through no fault of Kirk, we just have more body of work of Picard. We got to see him for 7 seasons, a really good movie and a couple of mediocre ones. And, you know, Kirk, you have the original series, you have the animated series, a few movies, again, some better than others. And I just feel maybe more comfortable. As a kid, I loved Captain Kirk. Still love Captain Kirk. Spoiler alert, he's in the number 2 spot. But I just felt like I just got to know him better. What do you think of that decision, Frank? Am I crazy?
Interesting, because you know, I was thinking about it. Certainly given, I guess depending on when you grew up, definitely could have a more attachment to Picard than Kirk.
Yeah.
For sure, but then there's still a part of me that, even though like Picard would probably be my, like, I could easily see myself going for that.
Yeah.
They're like, well, there's something about Kirk. I mean, he was the template that all other ones are kind of like in reaction to, or at least, you know, inspired by. So I feel like, for me, I almost want to give it to Kirk Prime as my top guy. But I'm not going to argue and say that a Picard choice is wrong.
No. Oh, go ahead.
Because I don't think he's like the action captain.
Well, that's what I was going to say, and I was going to get your thoughts on this, Carrie, that, you know, James T. Kirk jumps right into action, and for the captain to actually go down on so many missions and beam down and be part of all the awaits, it's probably not the way that it ought to happen, and so you see that a lot less in Next Generation. So I would say that probably Captain Kirk, either one, is much more action-packed than Picard, Patrick Stewart. But what do you think? Do you think that that's do you think that should make a difference? Because for me, I felt like in terms of captaining, I still leaned a little bit towards Picard.
It's hard to separate, though, for me, the, like, besides the character written, the actual actors playing it,
sure,
and how they played it. Picard was probably the first one I really started noticing on TV, and just Patrick Stewart has something about him that you're like, I just like you and I want to watch you, and he just has a great charisma. Mm-hmm. I think for me as a kid, the Captain Kirk Prime was a little too cheesy. Like, it was comedic and not necessarily was trying to be funny, so it was kind of like a joke. I did not see enough episodes, though, to really have an opinion on it, but it's just like people made fun of it, kind of a thing.
Well, yeah, I think even by the time I saw most of the episodes I saw of, by the time I watched the original series, and, you know, I talked about this, I think, on our first episode, my mom used to record it at midnight every night because she was specifically trying to get Trouble with Tribbles. But so I ended up seeing all the episodes. And by that point, they were all about 20 or more or so years old. So, you know, it definitely felt dated even then. So I can imagine that, you know, you go ahead a couple decades, it feels even more so. That there's some really great writing on there, but just limitations, budget, and, you know, just network restrictions. It might, you know, come off far less modern than Next Generation, which, of course, also had budget and not network, but studio restrictions. So, yeah, I think it was a tough choice, you know. I didn't, you know, because we were talking after last week's show, and I just felt like I was leaning that way, but it wasn't easy. I went back and forth during the course of the week.
Who's lost the most crew members? In terms of, if we're speaking better captain, who has kept the most of their team alive? Because that would be a big way
someone. It's a big way to judge. If that's your criteria, Captain Lorca is the worst because he lost an entire crew, not our crew that we're familiar with.
Right.
I don't know. That's a good question. I think that they're probably comparable numbers for Picard and Kirk, wouldn't you? I mean,
well,
Kirk lost some more red shirts than probably Picard did, but
and if you look at it, it's three seasons compared to seven seasons.
True.
And then multiple movies for both sets.
Do it on average, then.
Yeah. Well, if somebody has that average number, please share it with us.
That'd be interesting.
Because we're into it, but not that deep into it that we computed the... but it's a great question.
Because I don't know if I'm looking into it. I'm thinking, like, well... I mean, I remember, like, the first time watching Next Generation, thinking, like, ooh, Picard's got something to offer us when they do the big episode about the Picard maneuver.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I came up with this great, you know, strategy to defeat an opponent. Like, oh, all right, Picard's got some tactical skills as well, too. But I don't know, there's just something about Kirk and his, like, he doesn't believe in the no, you know,
the no-win scenario.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's always kind of just gravitated towards, like, oh, yeah, I kind of really respond to that.
Yeah, no, as a kid, I loved Captain Kirk, and there's still a part of me that, and I do still love him a lot. I just feel like, if I was going to serve on one of these ships, I think I'd be a lot more comfortable with Picard making more rational decisions before he gets broken by the Cardassians and turned into a Borg. But still.
Well, you make a good point, though, that, like, Kirk, both versions, or, yeah, both ones of them, if you want the more action, he is a far more interesting character in that sense. Kirk is, like... If you want that kind of an action-based show or you want to watch that, then, yeah, I would put it up there. But I guess it depends what kind of show you want to watch.
Yeah, and to the compliment of the series, The Next Generation, you know, Riker was a great number one because he sort of was the Kirk of the show, basically, because it's like, all right, you know, the captain's going to stay on the bridge and, you know, I'll get down to the planet to... God only knows what he'd be up to. But yeah, go ahead.
I also feel like, as we talked about, like, you know, the films, TV shows, the animated series, in the case of Star Trek, for the first series. But there's also the novels that play
that's a great
part
point,
into it too.
Yeah.
Like the novels, I feel like, is where I really enjoy Kirk a lot more. I feel like it's easier to dial down and not worry about when you're removed from the performance of William Shatner, for good or for bad, whatever you think.
Yeah, but do you have that in your head though as you read it?
I mean, I certainly have the image of him, but I don't read it with Shatner's delivery for that.
Yeah.
I'm able to set that aside and just appreciate the character for how he's portrayed in the novels.
Right. I think there's definitely different portrayals. And I guess in your mind, sure, you're reading, you're thinking of Shatner, but it's obviously, it's a little bit different. Just, of course, when you come across the word sabotage, you're going to say it the way that Shatner would say it.
I had that with Indiana Jones books. I totally heard Harrison Ford.
Really?
And saw him. Because, yeah, there's some Indiana Jones books that you can... I don't know if they're still around, but
those are really good, though.
Would you hear old Indiana Jones from Crystal Skull or you know, like Last Crusade, Temple of Doom, Indiana Jones?
Original set.
Okay. The real Indiana Jones.
The real one. We're going to pretend the other ones don't really.
Well, there's another one coming.
Yeah.
So I've got Picard, Kirk Prime number two. I was thinking about, like, should I do a point system where I explain how I came to this? I was like, well, that's too convoluted. But it was very close because they're both so great in such different ways. And I wish we had seven seasons of the Star Trek, the original series, and also just as many movies and things to compare. It'd be great if we had the exact same number of episodes or something.
Is this a list? Is this a one and two that have kind of jockeyed back and forth for you? Is it pretty much always been Picard then?
Yeah, no. I mean, because I hadn't thought about it in a while. But, like, while... you know, obviously when Next Generation started, there was first few seasons, never in my mind did I even think, like, oh, well, this guy doesn't even come close to Kirk. I love Kirk. Because there were still Kirk movies at that point, you know? I mean, the last standalone Star Trek movie, I think, Undiscovered Country came out in 91. So that's, like, through four seasons of Next Generation. You know, so they were still competing in my mind, you know? And it's like, well, we still have Kirk. And I have no problem with old Kirk. You know, I like Kirk. Through Star Trek VI, and I don't know about after that, but certainly up until that point. Star Drew says a better debate might be Star Trek Generations or Voyage Home Star Trek IV. Not if you're going to compare the two movies as to which one is delightful, wonderfully made, and actually a movie. And Generations, I was sort of following up with some comments in the chat, and you know, it was like all this hype, there's so much excitement, oh my god, we're gonna have Kirk and Picard, they're gonna get together, this is gonna be great. And what do? Well, they're in the kitchen and they make breakfast, so thank god we got that in that movie. I have not watched that movie in a long time, and I do want to do a whole episode on that.
Which
because
one is that one?
Generations. And it's sort of the passing of the baton. And it does also include the only appearance of the Enterprise B. So there's a lot to take away from that movie. And I love Malcolm McDowell. But there's a lot to not like about that movie. And I haven't seen it in a while, so I'm probably judging it unfairly. But anyway, back to the case at hand. I feel like... So I have Kirk Prime and number two. And I put Benjamin Sisko from Deep Space Nine, number three. I think he had the hardest job of any of these captains because he had an entire space station to look after. And when the show starts, he's just a commander.
Yep.
I mean, he gets bumped up in rank. And then also, you know, they do leave the station on the Defiant as the show goes along. But I thought he did a great job. I really liked Deep Space Nine because it was different. And I think I've mentioned that on the show, that it's a completely different setting, and it's not another starship, you know, scouring the galaxy on a 5-year mission. I like the idea that it's like, well, we're here, and stuff's going to come to us, you know?
I felt like this is an example also that kind of comparable to Next Generation as well, where it took a few seasons for it to kind of find its footing.
I definitely agree with that, yeah.
That once it latched in with the Dominion War, and Worf comes in, and he gets promoted to captain,
especially, especially Worf coming in.
Yes, I think that's when the show really gelled. But I do think it was interesting where it's just him coming in as just at least the head of the space station, even before he's a captain.
Yeah.
But so he's got this position in Starfleet, but then also for the Bajorans, he's viewed as the emissary. So this kind of religious deity of yeah. sorts. Seeing a person kind of straddling that those two kind of roles was kind of interesting for him.
And on top of all of it, he had to be a father.
That's
you know,
true.
Young Jake. So, and let's not forget the fact that Captain Picard killed his wife when he was Locutus of the Borg. So,
That's still that from that first episode with seeing Sisko and Picard kind of talk about and him just kind of letting loose on Picard about that. It was still a great scene.
Yeah. No. And Avery Brooks is a great actor. I think they did. It was some good casting. You know, it was bold casting because they put an African American there in the captain's chair. And then my next choice for number four would be a woman in the captain's chair. Now, if we were ranking quality of series, I would probably have to put Voyager at the bottom of my list just because I was not a fan of most of the members of the crew. But I think that Catherine Janeway as captain, she was great. And I think that given that set of circumstances, you know, thrown way over in the opposite end of the galaxy, there's a lot to overcome. And, you know, she was never the problem with that show for me. I always thought that she was good. And I thought that, you know, she... I don't know, it wasn't one of those... I think in the pilot, you're like, oh my gosh, there's a lady captain. And then by the end of that episode, I wasn't really thinking of it in that way anymore.
Yeah, that series is always interesting to me, too, because, I mean, certainly the premise is interesting where you get this ship, you know, flung far across the galaxy into a completely different quadrant. Like, oh, wow, how do they make their way home without, you know, the means of, you know, warp technology? But... then I felt like too many episodes, at least for the first season or so, was just like, oh, wait, there's an opportunity. But we need to sacrifice that to help save this other thing. We have to forgo our easy way home.
Yeah, and there was definitely like a Gilligan's Island quality to
yes.
it, where you're like, oh, we're so close, and damn it, Gilligan, why did you go and do that? You know, so...
do you feel like that solidified better once... it felt like once the Borg became the kind of the main adversary over the course of... multiple seasons.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, adding 7 and 9 actually, you know, I think helped sort of overall. There's just a different personalities to play off of. Carrie, should I assume that you haven't seen much Deep Space Nine or Voyager?
No, and I was actually going to ask, do you think, now that you've watched, you've all seen this show since, would you watch them in chronological order that they aired?
It's a good question. I mean... I think if you're looking to get the background, you could start with Enterprise, but I don't love that series. So, I mean, I would definitely start with Star Trek, the original series, and you're going to get some clunker, like monster episodes and things where later in the season the budgets got a little thinner, but there's still some great stories in there. And then definitely go to Next Generation, and at that point, you know, you're a few hundred episodes in. So, you know, come back at that point. But it's tough because there's, you know, also a lot of seasons of Deep Space Nine and Voyager. I think the total number of Star Trek episodes before Discovery started was 750. You know, just that's counting all these series.
And then there's the, I got it from my library of, I got the original films that came as a box set.
Oh, so the,
so
like.
I'll go through those too.
Yeah, no. And some of those are great. I'm a little hard on Star Trek Generations, but all of the movies have great stuff in them. Like even Star Trek V, which might be my least favorite, there's still some scenes that I enjoy in that movie.
Would you also say, though, of how much of the original older films, like I think it's only like 1 through 6 in
yeah,
this
that's
box
the,
set.
Those are the only, yeah, because those are the ones with the original cast.
How much of the series do you need to watch before then? Or can they be independent? Enough?
It helps if you watch the episode Space Seed before Star Trek II. But in all honesty, you don't need to. It just helps. I mean, you know, you could sort of curate a list of mm-hmm. a few key ones that would help. You know, maybe like 10 episodes of the original series before diving in. What do you think to both of those questions, Frank?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, yeah, I agree with you seeing Space Seed just for help with Wrath of Khan. But, I mean, if you wanted to watch a few just to get the sense of the chemistry and the dynamics between the various characters. But I also feel like you could just jump into the films and not feel like you're missing anything either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Star Trek II is going to be a great movie whether you've seen Space Seed or not. I'm sure plenty of people saw that movie in the theater.
How far in is that episode?
I want to say it's episode 19, but I might be wrong. I can look it up while we talk about something else. But I feel like that's the episode number.
And then with the, I mean, it's a little different as shows went on, but would you say with the original series, is it to vary, is it more series or serial that each episode really could be watched? I mean, we mentioned maybe next time we'll talk about favorite episodes. How much is the for original series meant to be watched chronologically?
Well, there's a school of thought of, especially for the early episodes, it's very important to watch them in the production order, not the air date order, because there's a few things that are confusing, things that go back and forth. But
how do you tell though, like if it's on Netflix or something?
I don't actually know how Netflix has them posted. I think on Netflix they're posted in broadcast order, so you'd have to cross-reference with another list. But what I would say is that, you know, I think the first couple definitely are setting the stage for the series, but at a certain point it won't really matter if you watch City on the Edge of Forever before Trouble with Tribbles or Space Seed or, you know,
Spike
Piece
Spring.
Of the Action. Yeah, exactly. Mock Time. You know, just listing some of my favorites. You know, you can, like, all the ones that I just said, you could pretty much watch in any order. You're just going to know the characters a little bit better if you've watched it. But in all honesty, I think that watching the best first is probably the way to go. You know, if depending on how much time you have, there's 79 episodes of the original series.
It'll take a little while.
It might take a little while, you know. So you might want to just go. But I don't know. What do you think, Frank? Do you think that is what I'm suggesting sacrilegious and you should, you know, watch as many as you can sequentially and see how far you get?
Not, man. You know, I think it'd be one of those things before the days of there's so much media to consume. And as somebody that, you know, if Star Trek is your only passion and your only thing that you live for in life, then sure, yeah, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, then absolutely. But if you have so many different things kind of vying for your attention, yeah, I think it's better just to at least do a sampling and a nice cross-section rather than try to do a deep dive.
Because I almost thought to watch, could, like, yep. the first little bits of all of them to get a better feel for all of them.
Oh,
too.
Watch a little bit of each episode?
No, like for each series set, yeah. Like watch the first 10 of
well,
each
I would especially say with Next Generation, don't watch the first 10. I would also probably say skip the first season. Some people feel otherwise, but it gets much better with the start of the second season and hits its stride seasons 3, 4, 5, kind of like The Simpsons, actually.
I've been meaning to. It just is one of those, like, okay, now I have.
Well, there's so
more
much,
motivation.
And especially like if you're going onto Netflix as your way to watch Star Trek. How many other things is Netflix going to remind you? Like, you haven't finished The Punisher yet? Hey, remember Stranger Things? Oh, look at all these comedy specials that we have. And, you know, there's just so much. And it's all on the same platform, you know? It's at least when we were watching things on CBS All Access, we're like, well, I'm just here for Star Trek.
That's true.
Know? So, anyway, so those are all great questions, and I hope that those answer the questions for Carrie. But if you disagree with me, please comment on YouTube, whether you're watching live or after the fact.
Well, Stardrew says 4 weeks worth of media, maybe 2 months.
That's right.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, I mean, it's a long time.
Everybody kind of has, I'm pretty sure we all have at least a good handful of shows that we watch regularly. This is just something I'll add to my rotation.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the way to do it, too. If you try to, even if you're watching other things at the same time, it might start to feel like a slog when you're, you know, looking down the barrel of, oh, well, one day I'm going to watch 750 episodes of all the Star Trek, you know? And
I actually did try to rent I got the movies way back when. I just couldn't, I think I started the first original movie, but I didn't really get into it.
You couldn't stay awake? Is that what you were trying
Maybe.
To say?
No, again,
there's good stuff in there, but the pacing is a tremendous problem for that movie. And the rest of the film series is paced completely differently. So they learned a lot from that.
Right. We'll have to talk about the films at another
episode. Yeah, no. I was thinking of doing an episode on the films in general, but I'm thinking now that it'd be more fun to do sort of individual films. And I think the first one we would do in films now, I'm leaning towards Generations because it's come up so many times.
Christian, going back to the Sisko and Janeway, do you feel like, was it Sisko's, the Dominion War that really solidified Sisko for
you? Yeah, and also, as a show, having Worf on the show. But yes, just the, in terms of the kind of decisions he had to make, it was a lot different than the early seasons. And, you know, and just that was really, I think, when he basically earned, well, I guess they're not stripes, but the little dots. Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's really what it was. And with Janeway, it really is just being on her own. And it's like, you know, obviously she had a crew, but I mean, there's no higher ups that she could be like, well, what do I do in this situation? You know, it was so foreign, everything she was doing.
Well, because if you look at the both of them, I mean, it was Sisko kind of startling, like the Bajorans and the Federation. To kind of help the Bajorans join them. That was kind of his main purpose on there as well. And then you've got Janeway and a little bit of more of a, like a little microcosm of that. It's with the Maquis and with the Federation, trying to blend those two different allegiances to try to come together to kind of get them home.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point. There's so many different factions to deal with. And of course, just again, from an aesthetic standpoint, both Next Generation, so Deep Space Nine got to update the uniforms when the movies updated the uniforms, but Voyager was stuck with the uniforms from when they got hurled to the other end of the galaxy, so they never got to look fancier.
No, which kind of, at least I like that was a nice touch. Like, you're, when they come back, like, whoa, man, things have changed so much.
Things have changed, yeah.
This is kind of very more topical, but it's interesting looking at photos for Sisko. So does he have hair and then shaves it and then goatee? Do you prefer one or the other? Because it's a very different look.
I think the goatee look was good for a guy who is dealing with a war, basically. You know,
The man called Hawkman.
Yeah, exactly. From Spencer for Hire.
Yes.
And I think that that's more of like a wartime general sort of look. Mm. And I think that that definitely worked. And, you know, for the tone of the later episodes, absolutely. And I'm sure that was all, those were all conscious decisions. Yeah, he's a very different look in those early episodes. Yeah.
When I liked it, when that hair came off, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
This is what I've been waiting for.
Well, it is interesting when you have shows from multiple seasons, how they change up what an actor looks like or not.
Yeah, and I mean, to, you know, that's the most significant. I mean, with
Janeway.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Well, Janeway, looking at her pictures, there's like the bob, which is more mommy bob almost. Yeah. And then there's like the pulled back look too.
Yeah. And then, of course, on Next Generation, no real change.
I think Patrick Stewart stays the same.
Right. But for Riker, he has a beard from the second season onward. Mm-hmm. And you felt like he belonged there more. I don't know what it was, but he just had more authority.
I can't imagine him without a beard.
Oh, you can Google it. You can look
it up. I know, but I've always known him. I'm like, I've always known him to have a beard.
Yeah. It's jarring. You
it's
know?
One of those, he looks good with a beard.
In the series finale, there's a moment when they're traveling back in time. There's a whole thing, but you see R. Picard talking to Riker and the pilot, and it's just sort of a full screen of him without the beard, and you're like, oh yeah, that's just weird. So let me finish my list quickly, and I want to let Frank have a list, and Carrie, any thoughts you have for the captains you're familiar with. So I put Captain Archer after Janeway. You know, obviously very important in terms of the lore of Star Trek because he's the first real captain of Starfleet, at least this style of vessel. And I did put the Kelvin Kirk there, and that was another one where I felt like I wanted him to be higher. But then I just thought about how much I actually liked these other captains. So he's not second from last because I dislike the Kelvin Kirk. It's just I felt like I liked these other captains so much more and really got to see a lot more of them. We only have three movies of Kelvin Kirk. And I put Captain Lorca at the end of the list only because we don't really know him and I still don't trust him. You know, especially at the end of episode 9, I trust him even less. So he's just kind of there, just lurking. He could end up being a great captain at some point, but I don't know. I don't trust him. And my honorable mention, I went with, of course, Captain Christopher Pike, who we only really know from the original pilot, The Cage, and, you know, in the two-part menagerie, he doesn't have much to say except for one blinking light or two blinking light. But it's fascinating to see the original pilot carry the, it's called The Cage, because the show would have been very different. It was almost like, to compare it to TV at the time, it was, they were going for more of like like a Sea Hunt, Voyage Beneath the Sea, as opposed to like Gunsmoke, which is more like what it ended up being. It was a little too cerebral, I think, for network television in 1966 or 2017. By the way, I think that that original approach wouldn't have worked.
What do you think of the costumes from the original pilot?
I kind of like them, actually. Yeah, I think that. You know, I'm not a big cosplayer, but I always felt like the Cage costumes I could get behind, you know? And, yeah, I definitely agree with that.
The first thing, they actually just look more comfortable.
That's true. They feel like they breathe better.
It's like, all right.
Yeah, and I think that the next generation costumes are at least the original, like, first few seasons, because... Patrick Stewart's always pulling his down. You know, there's just something about the way that they bunched up.
Yeah.
So they look very uncomfortable. Frank, I kind of filibustered a lot.
No.
But we also went down some little fun side avenues.
Yeah.
So I want to get your list, and then we'll get some of Carrie's thoughts on some of these
actually,
characters.
I'm sorry, before you transition, have you guys heard of Star Trek Continues?
I have heard that it is. That's a fan-made series?
It's a fan-made series. Yeah. And I've watched, I think, a couple episodes. I've met the lead actor, who Vic Mignogna, who's a voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting, though, because with this fan series, they do it very much in the vein of what the old series looked like. The acting style, almost like pretty much it's as if it kept going.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be curious on your thoughts.
Have you seen
it? I think it's pretty well made.
There have been a few series like that are sort of like fan made series. And
yeah,
I knew somebody that was like, on one that's not this one. And I think
even the picture quality looks like
Were the one that I watched, which this was like 12, 13 years ago, if I think about it.
Yeah,
there just wasn't that much money behind it, and the acting. Including the person I know, to be perfectly honest, she's not watching. It was tough to get into, so it probably soured me on it. But I have heard of this one, and I've heard that people do like it. But we can certainly dive in the future.
Yeah. And are they just picking it up from like season 4, so to speak?
I don't remember the specific details. But it just said, I think it just picks up kind of where it left off, actually.
Frank, let's get your ranking, and then we'll save plenty of time to talk more.
I mean, for me, I'm going to go, as we were talking about with Christian and his list, I feel like, you know, I got to give it up for Kirk Prime just for being the originator.
It's not the wrong answer.
No.
You know?
I mean, and probably because I have such a tremendous soft spot for Wrath of Khan. That right there is just, and so, I mean, that's everything that I want to see in Kirk right there is just, you know, the no-win scenario is just the way he just kind of, you know, bends the rules, twists, has a lot of different plans and game plans.
And angry Kirk.
Angry Kirk. You know? And then, you know, the heartbreaking Kirk, too, where, where he finally, you know, confronts his, the no-win scenario.
Yeah.
And he loses his best buddy.
No, I definitely agree. And that's why we'll definitely be doing a whole episode on Wrath of Khan, because of just how rich the story is and the character development, not just for Kirk, but he's certainly the star of that movie, more so than really any of the others.
Picard, he is great too. I mean, sure. I've never, as we're talking about, I never see Picard as like the action captain, but he's put in situations that would be weird to see Kirk in and portray. So, like, I can't imagine like Inner Light with Kirk as opposed to Picard. That would be a really different episode.
Yeah, I mean, there's very few that you feel like you, for either series, that you could interchange them, you know? Like, oh, well, what if you have Picard in this one and Kirk in that one, you know? They're very distinctive, so yeah. But I don't know, I feel like they ought to be most people's one and two, and somebody who has someone else in either of those positions, I'm fascinated to know their reasons why, by the way. But.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go Sisko for number three.
Okay.
It's probably like the Dominion War, just what they did on Deep Space Nine with that Dominion War. Such a nice, long, continued story that right there is like kind of like where I kind of set the standard for what Star Trek can do in a serialized storyline.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there are a lot of people that I think probably had given up on Deep Space Nine before that started because they just weren't that into it. And that's probably why I always say that is one of, you know, I prefer that. I prefer Deep Space Nine to Voyager and Enterprise, and I don't think I'm leaving anything out. I don't prefer it to Next Generation. That's crazy talk. But, I like it so much more than either of those two, and I think a lot of people just, you know, they didn't stick around, and that's unfortunate because not only was it a great storyline, as we mentioned, Worf comes along, so...
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah, so, okay, so you have him in the number three spot.
Janeway, I guess, you know, you have to put in there. Janeway's a character that I just feel like I want to like more, but I at the end of it, I'd never feel like, yeah, Janeway, she never really resonates with me as a captain, which is unfortunate. I mean, I'd like to see, especially if we're getting the chance to see Star Trek celebrating diversity, and we're giving the first African-American captain, we want to see our first female captain. It was a captain I was hoping I was going to be more engaged with and excited by. But,
You know, and I'm critical of that series, and I guess the one thing that you have to take in consideration is that that's the series that was developed and produced for a network that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. The UPN network. And they were definitely trying to do something different, which is funny to think that Star Trek was on UPN when you consider the rest of the lineup. But, you know, like the Diary of Desmond Pfeiffer.
Yes.
Yeah, some great television there. It's a very, very obscure reference that people can Google, and then you'll see why I decided I had to drop it. But, you know, and I think, you know, and look, Enterprise suffered from the same kind of pressure. It's like, no, you gotta up these kind of stakes, and we have to do these kind of stories. There's great stories in Voyager. I'm not discounting everything about the series. It just, on the whole, was not my favorite. But I think the reason I mention that is I think that kind of limited what we were able to see from Janeway. They're sort of, you're in a little bit more of a box in terms of the stories they were letting you tell or encouraging you to tell.
I'd agree with that. When the premise of the show wins out over everything else, I find it kind of unfortunate. This would have been a show like, if by season two or three they said like, hey, what, you know what, they make it back to Federation space, and now we can just tell some storylines to kind of pick up on some threads of what they left from the Delta Quadrant, but now how they integrate back in the Federation life, I would have been more engaged by that than constantly like, we're not going to let them get home until the very last episode.
Yeah, which I think, you know, at least in hindsight, was a mistake. It would have been nice to even have just one season where they're back and adjusting, you know, the aftermath, if you will, of Star Trek Voyager.
No, I mean, because I read some of the novels that continued after.
Okay.
And it's just interesting to see, like, you know, what happens when they're back. I mean, you still think, like, even though they have the Federation, they're still Maquis. So how do they, you know, kind of once they're back in Federation space, you know, how are they viewed and treated? And I thought there were some interesting storylines to pick up. And it's always interesting to see when you come back from a big mission, does everybody stay together? Because you think like, or in reality, a lot of people, if you come back, they're going to seek other avenues of opportunity. Do you necessarily stay together as a singular the unit that you've built, or do you kind of go off and explore?
Tuvok get his own ship.
You know,
there's a lot of things.
Which he does. He goes, hangs out with Riker on his ship.
See, there you go.
Look
right
at that.
There.
Yes. He goes on the Titan. You know, Archer, I feel like it's my Quantum Leaps bias that comes in and makes Archer
You know what?
Better.
It's funny I didn't even mention that because I was such a huge Quantum Leap fan. And unfortunately, if you watch it now, those episodes do not hold up. Some of them do. But for the most part, it's you want to talk about strains of network TV budget. I loved Quantum Leap so much. I was so excited that he was going to be the captain of a Star Trek show. I was ecstatic. And, it was definitely a disappointment, you know. But, so you have him ranked as high as he is because of the Quantum Leap factor.
Yeah.
Or is it because you like NCIS New Orleans?
I saw him watch an episode of that.
I haven't either. And that'll tell you that, you know, that how much Enterprise soured me that I couldn't even, like, it's really because it's the NCIS franchise, I think. But I do love him as an actor, Scott Bakula.
For me, I'm putting Lorca next. I'm not going to put him dead last. And I know we haven't seen a lot of him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I feel like we are going to be seeing more of him. So that gives me the opportunity to feel like that he's going to move up the list. You know, plus the episode for the season finale where he decides that we're going to do about 121 jumps, where he kind of formulates his battle plan. I'm always getting to see a captain's kind of tactical prowess is always intriguing to me. And I felt we saw a little bit of Lorca.
What I do like is that he, and obviously it's because of the timeline the show, or the time period that the show set in, is that he is a lot less touchy-feely. He's very like, no, this is my decision, we're going to do this. Yeah, but what about these things? No, I'm going to do this. You know, he still cares about his crew. I mean, obviously, Lieutenant Stamets maybe leaned on him a little too much. But, you know, he was making concessions even for Burnham, you know, who's not even really a member of the crew. You know, at least she doesn't have rank. So I think he cares about his crew, but, you know, not to the detriment of his mission. And I do like how much of a, you know, of a firm decision maker he is. But I just wonder what his motives are.
I mean, I do feel like he and the Federation are kind of going along the same direction because, for at least right now, their objectives are kind of in line. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he does have some other objectives that may not fall within the Federation parameters. And it'd be interesting to see what happens when those two things diverge.
Yeah.
And I feel like that'll be where we get to see what Lorca's really made out of and who.
Yeah, I think by the end of this first season, you know, he could move up on the list, or, you know, I could put Captain Harriman before him, you know, if he does something really bad.
I'm going to put Kirk Kelvin at the bottom. Just because this is not the Kirk that I've wanted. It's just he's been reset so many times, reset back to zero. The first two films, as we talked about last week, and you started to get to see a little bit of the Kirk that you want to see in Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah.
But, I mean, who knows if we're going to get to see more of
that. Another movie with him could probably really change your impression. But
yes.
Who knows if, when that happens, you know, if there is another movie, is it even going to be with him? Because who knows how long it'll take, etc.
Yeah, I mean, so I like to see a Kirk that's kind of thinking one step ahead of his adversaries, and we saw a little bit of that in Beyond, but not enough for me to think, like, now there's too much potential that's been left untapped, so he's got to go at the bottom for me.
He was second from the end for me, and I feel like that's kind of where he belongs, because there are, you know, and look, even though I didn't love Enterprise, I do think that Archer, obviously a great captain. So Carrie, as you hear us talk about all these captains that you haven't seen shows for, which one sounds like the one you're more interested in? Like, I kind of want to see more of Captain Blank.
I think Archer, if only for a soft spot as well for Quantum Leap.
But Dean Stockwell never shows up in the show, so Al's not there at any point to help him out, which is so funny because, again, this is not Quantum Leap Weekly, but let's talk about the fact that I'm holding a device in my hand right now, which has a lot more information at your fingertips than Ziggy, which Al would use to sort of answer all of Sam's questions. You know, it's so it's just funny to think about a TV show that started in 1989 versus now, like what the future is going to be like. But anyway, so
Sisko sounds like an interesting character with all the different plot lines that could happen with that. Because I was going to say, I'm like, I only really know the two Kirks, Picard, and then Lorca.
Yeah.
But I almost have a five there. For myself, I would probably put Picard, if only because he seems the most captainly. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a ton of episodes, so I don't have a lot to base it on. But from what I've seen, he seems the most like, I'm like, yeah, that's a captain in charge. I do think more action would be better, but I do think as a good captain, you probably don't want to run on every mission because you need to stay alive.
Yeah, so I think that's really the key.
I'm like, right in between there. I like Kirk Kelvin a lot, though, but I don't have that same attachment to previous Kirk, so I'm not quite the, oh, no, you're not that one. I thought he was a really great, fresh, new take on it for modern and current viewers of and changing up a little bit, because that's what that storyline is. It's an alternate universe, so it's fine. Our alternate timeline.
Correct.
So that one's fun. And then Lorca, I really like in terms of he's very interesting, but I agree I also don't really fully trust him. But he does seem to have a good head on his shoulders in terms of getting a mission done. But he also is I'll do whatever it takes, which may or may not be at the expense of his crew. A little unclear.
Yeah. Because
we don't really know about everything in his past. And then original Kirk, I really like him. But again, I need to see the original episodes because for me, it's more like I can't take it seriously enough that I'm like, yes, he's a captain. So I need to watch.
Well, there you go. And by the way, Frank, did you have an honorable mention? Because there was a sub list.
I'm torn between Decker and Harriman. I mean,
Decker from Motion Picture?
Will Decker.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, but certainly I feel like if you look between the two of them, Will Decker, he's almost a setup to fail because, I mean, the Enterprise is supposed to be his. And then, you know, there's Kirk just hanging out there and he's like, I shouldn't have taken this desk job. So he kind of steps on his toes. So I'm going to have to go with Harriman. I mean, I feel terrible because he's like he's portrayed as such a buffoon in Generations. And I do like the novel that takes place after that where he feels like, yep, I'm the guy that killed Kirk. And that's like, you know, his reputation around the Federation, how he tries to like, I've got to get past this. And how do I kind of prove to everybody that I'm not just the person that killed Kirk on his watch, but I'm more than that. So it was an interesting novel. But I feel like I got to give it for Harriman. He's probably my least favorite.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's it really makes a good point there. And, you know, I wanted to give my honorable mention to Captain Sulu, but it's like a cameo appearance in Star Trek VI, so I could not really do that as much as I wanted to. As much as I love George Takei and I love Captain Sulu, I could not. So anyway, we only have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about my idea for next week's show, which is we'll each watch a few episodes and we each pick one that's our favorite. And Carrie, I don't know if you have a favorite. So
I was going to say.
Frank and I could quickly confer and pick one that could be a choice for you, one that we think you'll like. But Frank, I'll let you go first. What episode do you think is, if you have to go like, oh, watch this episode of this Star Trek series, any series, which one is it that you would pick?
Yes,
well, no, I was going to say, like, how with Doctor Who, there's some people who watch Blink, and it's outside of all episodes, you can watch it. So, yes, I would say whatever. I think almost all the Star Trek seasons are on Netflix. So, yes, if you want to tell me those, then...
Yeah, well, there's a few. So, yeah.
We got a week.
Yeah, and although picking Doctor Who, it's such a much more confusing show from episode to episode and
yes,
Doctor to
but
Doctor.
That's why Blink is nice because it's very self-contained. Yeah. So there must be some Star Trek episodes where it's like, nah, you don't have to know where they are in that.
Yeah, I mean, you could...
It's a standalone. There we go.
You could watch Next Generation Below Decks or whatever it's called, where the main cast isn't even really in it. It's just about the people who are the grunts. But anyway, what were you going to isolate?
I mean, if I think like... I mentioned it already this episode, but yeah, certainly one that always springs to the top of mind is Inner Light. That's always a good one for Next Generation. So I was torn between that or... Because I know what's on your what your pick is. But I was thinking Trials and Tribulations. Just to see.
Oh, you mean the Deep Space Nine episode?
Yes.
Yes, because my pick is The Trouble with Tribbles, and I wanted my pick to be City on the Edge of Forever because it makes me seem like classier and more enlightened. But at the end of the day, Trouble with Tribbles is my favorite episode. And I think it's a really important episode because it's the funniest episode, and there's not a lot. Like, that and Piece of the Action are the two that come to my mind. As the ones that are actually like funny, and many episodes are not even remotely funny, you know, but those ones are actually written to be that way. So Inner Light is a great choice. And yeah, I know that Trials and Tribulations it's an episode of Deep Space Nine where they go back in time and they are inserted digitally into the episode Trouble with Tribbles. But if I was going to pick a standalone episode that I think really embodies and is considered by many people that are, again, more enlightened than me as the best episode of Star Trek, I would say City on the Edge of Forever, because it's such a great story that I feel like you really understand our characters based on that one episode. Do you think that's a fair choice?
No, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I basically just assigned an episode to you, Carrie. But I think when you watch it, you'll be like, okay, well, this was a good one. So, and you know what? Maybe Kirk Prime... So all right, so that's what we're saying for next week is what we would like people to watch is Next Generation, Inner Light, Star Trek the Original Series, City on the Edge of Forever, and Star Trek the Original Series, Trouble with Tribbles. Please let us know what your favorite episodes are. There were a lot of great comments last week to our episode about whether or not the J.J. Abrams movies were garbage. And there were most of the people that, you know, kind of agreed with us, except for Brian Wigglesbait, who said, every movie J.J. Abrams makes is complete garbage. He's made a career of bastardizing beloved franchises. I think his Mission Impossible movie, the Mission Impossible 3, was actually great. So I don't know if I agree with that. Anyway, and there were some great rankings, and, you know, we had a great debate. Very quickly, J-Boy went Kirk, Picard, Janeway, Lorca, Archer, and his honorary mentions were Decker and Pike. And he is the one, J-Boy, who said that Captain Harriman because he loved Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I wanted to make sure I got that in there because that made me laugh out loud when he said that. Anyway, we are out of time. Tell us if we're wrong. and that if we've picked badly for who the best captains are, and for what we picked as three episodes that everybody should watch before next week's show. But until then, you can find me at KristenDMZ. And Carrie, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane. That's KarriDLane.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie.
All right, well, we will talk about those episodes, but let us know between now and then what your favorite episodes are. You can pick one for each series, however you want to do it. Just go ahead and leave it in the chat on YouTube. And Carrie, what do they do if they're watching on YouTube?
You guys comment down below.
And don't forget,
a thumbs up.
That's it, the thumbs up. Thanks so much, everybody, and live long and prosper.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.